RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday morning, MP on the mic. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here. Glad to be with you. So much to cover. NFL draft in the books. We'll tell you how the Commanders did in the next segment at 10:30. So listen up. We'll go pick by pick. We'll break it down. Shout out to Dejon Anthony of Henrico. He was picked by the Bengals on Saturday. Local kids doing good things. We'll recap the Capitals game. I was up there in D.C. last night. We'll recap the Squirrels weekend as well in our Squirrels update in the 11 o'clock hour. You can look forward to that. But I want to start with VCU basketball because there's been a lot of hand-wringing, right? Everybody's out. And then Friday after we went off the air came the news that Toby LaWall is transferring to Virginia Tech. And I think that one hit hard for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. Number one, we all love Toby LaWall. He's awesome. He's tall. He makes highlight plays. He makes fun dunks. He's the kind of guy who you know, makes a stadium go wild on game night. Also, he's a developmental kid. He showed up, and he was raw. He's a project, and VCU fans have a soft spot for guys like that, right? International kid from London, shows up, works hard, develops, earns more playing time, endears himself to the fan base. We had him on the show last year, just super humble, super good kid. And then I don't have to tell you the third leg of this. It's Virginia freaking Tech, right? Like, it's not, oh, he went to Villanova, oh, he went to Vanderbilt and they threw all this money at him. It's Virginia Tech, a program that is struggling to keep up in the basketball NIL era. And I think if you talk to people in and around VCU, this or that, that's a program they feel largely they should be able to be competitive with if they can fundraise at the level they need to. Because at Tech, all that money is getting funneled into football, right? They're not, and Mike Young will get his and get a little bit, and obviously they'll take care of the women's team because they got to reload in a big-time way. But if Tech's getting a big donation to the NIL, it's going straight to the football team. It's straight on the gridiron, as it should. I'm not saying it shouldn't. Every dollar Tech gets it, you know, takes in, 90 to 95 cents of it should go to the football team. That's what that school's known for. That's where they can stand out nationally. And that is, I don't have to tell you, a crazy competitive landscape. So that hurt. Now, there are mitigating factors too, right? One of Toby LaWall's former assistant coaches, one of the guys who's responsible for finding him and recruiting him, is now coaching with the Hokies, so he can go there and continue his development. He gets to play in the ACC at a higher level. Certainly, that's an appealing option. But I think that one stung in a month where there's been a lot of stings from the portal. And you got guys like Seth Davis nationally who say, oh, you mid-majors need to quit crying because the portal's going to work for them too, because they're going to get kids they wouldn't have been able to get. An argument that I think totally misses the point of why we don't like the portal. It's not, oh, my school's getting screwed over. The story of college sports is rich teams get richer, poor teams get poorer. That's how it's always been. Kentucky will always get the five best kids in America. Kansas will always find a way to get the best players. VCU will always struggle to keep up with them. It's not a level playing field, and it never has been. So there's no like, oh my gosh, this portal and NIL is happening and things aren't fair anymore. No, things were never fair. We're all very aware that things aren't fair. You can't make the tournament out of the A-10 unless you're just crazy good and nobody will schedule you. And as soon as players get good, you know, they're on their way somewhere else. That's always been the case. No, what bugs us about the portal is we don't get a chance to build these relationships and root for these guys. 4 years of Toby Lawal, and he's a legend on Broad Street. 4 years of these guys, right? And we get to know them and learn their stories and root for them in a better way than, hey, the season's starting. Why don't we go learn who's on the team? That's not good for anybody. And I think a lot of these are fixable problems. I've dove into this before. I think that you need NIL contracts that are 3 to 4 years in length that bind a player to a school. I think you need options for bigger schools to buy out the contracts from smaller schools, a la European soccer, right? Where the schools can get compensated. If they find a Toby Lawal, develop a Toby Lawal, they can get compensated for that and reload and have the opportunity. All of which is to say, VCU finally is plus from the portal here. They finally grabbed somebody out of the portal. His name's Jack Clark, 6'8" forward. So we've been talking about wanting height, got some size. Ready for this? His 7th year of college basketball. 4 years at LaSalle, played one game as a freshman, started one game as a freshman, played in 9. Took a red shirt his 2nd year, and then 2 years at LaSalle as a sophomore and a junior as in 21 and 22. Transferred to NC State, where 2 years ago he played 17 games, started 17 games. Transferred to Clemson, where last year he started 17 games. So this is a good pickup, right? This is a kid who he's 6'8", he's got size, we like size, and he's been at a pair of ACC schools. That's good experience. I think this is overall a good pickup. And that's why I just want to couch my transfer portal gripes. It's not things are good or things are bad. Look at this year's VCU team, right? It was a good team that was fun to watch, and I think we all enjoyed Ryan Odom's first year from that perspective. He brought in good players and local players and a lot of kids who were easy to root for. You just want that continuity, and we're not getting it. That said, good pickup out of the portal. Jack Clark, he's the first portal pickup. What was it Calipari said when he was introduced to Arkansas? The team? I met with the team. There is no team. They're slowly becoming a team on Broad Street, and we'll introduce them to you as they come around. Now, last week on Friday, we had our bowling spectacular with Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby, VCU's radio crew. We'll get into this during Crosstalk with AWOD at 11:45 because AWOD bowls every single week. He's like a regular bowler. He goes bowling all the time. You know, he's talking up. He's got the spin. He makes it look like a professional thing. He was running his mouth all week long, and it was a little like, MP, don't bring down the team, right? And I had no recourse for that because it's like, I kind of hope I don't, right? I used to bowl a lot, and that was 20 years ago. I'm not going to run my mouth because I don't know. I thought I'd score, what, like 130 or so, you know, like I'd do the team proud. Well, I hit my expectations.
Oh, yeah?
AWOD did not.
No.
Yeah, no. It was, I beat him in both games. Now, he got lucky. As a team, we won. So he's still going to claim he's undefeated in these bowling challenges.
But you carried.
My back's a little sore today.
Yeah.
From carrying him.
Hard to carry the whole team.
It's hard to carry the team in the bowling challenge. We'll go late into this break because the whole reason to tee this up was to play the Robbie Robinson clip. So we're going to play the Robbie Robinson clip. Robbie was, look, nobody's more wired in at VCU, obviously, than Robbie. He gave this word to the fans who are freaking out about portal thing. And I don't know, is it the minority or the majority? Twitter doesn't represent how people feel in real life, but certainly on Twitter, there's been a lot of melting down over the portal and over what's going on. Here's Robbie Robinson with a word of take a deep breath to the fan base.
I would tell Ram fans, y'all relax a little bit, please. Like, at least the six or seven of you that keep showing up in my feed. Like, seriously, we're going to be fine. We've got great coaching staff that are phenomenal at talent evaluation. We're going to get really good players to come in and pick up on those extra scholarships that we have. Yeah. I have no doubt about that.
I mean, I said it last year. Come to the BDC and you won't want to leave.
Well, and sure, and that is the case. And we might hit on everybody that's out there that's floating around that we're going after. Or there might be guys that our coaching staff is going to find that maybe other people don't know about. Here's what I know. Our guys know how to coach. I know they know how to put together a team, and they know how to keep that team together throughout the entire season. I mean, we went 5-2 in the postseason in win or go home games. That's a very impressive resume going into the offseason, and that's not easy to do. I mean, that's five times that you had your backs were against the wall and we won, and they did that in large part, Adam, I think because of the cohesiveness of this group, and that is all about the coaching. So whoever we get in here, I'm going to go ahead and say our guys are going to be vibing and more cohesive than your guys. And at the end of the day, I'll take that group as opposed to guys that are, I mean, NIL is doing all different kinds of things to locker rooms and to egos and to pressure. I mean, it's pressure enough for a college basketball player to have to perform when he's got scholarship and a coach and a girlfriend and the uncle back home that's like riding him because he's not getting double figures. Throw six figures onto that and see how guys perform. I'll take our guys and our coaching staff any day of the week. So I'm telling you, Ram Nation, like, we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. The 12 or 11 or 10 guys that we put out there are going to be together, and they're going to play well, and I have no doubt. And whenever it happens, it happens. I know we all want to sign five guys right now and beat Kentucky and Memphis and all these guys, but, you know, we all need to be patient as we put together the team that's going to be successful next year.
How dare you bring that kind of reason into this argument, Robbie Robinson? How dare you be that sensible? It's a good word. I'm glad he said it. I certainly heard, right? That was on AWOD Radio. You heard AWOD there during our bowling challenge on Friday. We play it for you now during MP on the Mic. As we're right, he's right about all of that. And you know, I love me some Ryan Odom, and I think that was a great hire and another hit in a line of them for VCU basketball. And I think they will have a good team. And you should be buoyed by the addition of Jack Clark, a guy who's going to be an instant impact leader on the floor kind of guy. It's okay to not like the whole thing, to feel uneasy about the whole thing, but that's not a throw in the towel reason, especially if you're a VCU fan, because he's right. This staff is going to make good acquisitions and is going to coach them up well. And you saw what they did, you know, with about 10 minutes notice last year, assembled a team that you were proud of and had some very obvious flaws and coached through it all the way to the A-10 title game. Doesn't mean you have to like the system. I don't. I continue to not like the system because I like to get to know guys over 3 and 4 years. But within the parameters of the game we're playing, I think they're very good at playing that game and will be. NFL draft, speaking of player acquisition, Commanders grabbed 9 players, then signed Notre Dame's quarterback to one of the biggest undrafted free agent deals of the weekend. We'll dive into all that. We'll keep the Monday show rolling. This is MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Nobody knows. Nobody will know the last number. It's 105. What's the last? You got to dial them all. It's like you could get 6 digits of the phone number. What's the 7th one? How many calls are you willing to make? You want to listen to us in Crystal Clear FM? Put in the work. Find it. I don't know. Is it 105.9? 105.7?
It could be anything.
It could be any. I don't think... I'm not a radio guy. You know this. I don't think there are even numbers, right? They're all odd numbers. Is that correct?
That's correct. I actually never thought of that.
They're all... FM are all odd-numbered stations. There are no... It can't be 105.2.
True.
So you are only going to need to find 5 stations on your dial before you hear us in Crystal Clear FM radio. I like your chances. Yeah. I'll spoil it. It's 910 The Fan. We're at 105.1 FM. It's MP on the Mic. Coming at you after a long draft weekend. The bulk of the action, of course, after we went off the air on Friday. MP, people like the Commanders draft. Right, everywhere you go, somebody did a good draft, loaded up. Now, part of that is when you're bad, it is easier to have a good draft, right? Because one, you get better picks. And two, anytime you take a player, they're like, oh yeah, they need that. Oh yeah, they need that. They needed that too, right? It's harder to have a good draft if you already have a good team, because then you draft a player. Like, well, why'd they draft that? They've got a guy. Chiefs drafted a tight end, or they got Travis Kelce. Like, yeah. So it's harder to have a good draft when you have a good team. The Commanders don't have a good team. Therefore, it's easy to have a good draft. And they did. Credit to Adam Peters. Credit to his crew. I like this. Now, two themes, right, before we go down the line by line here. A lot of captains, a lot of guys who were captain of their college team, and athleticism. A lot of guys who tested really well, the numbers are really good, stand out in that regard, which is interesting to me because I had wondered, you've got Adam Peters in and Eugene Shen, he's the analytics guy. We say his name a lot. I don't think a lot of people really know who he is. He is behind the scenes. He is a guru. He's, you know, crunching the numbers. He knows his stuff, can advise on. I've looked at all. I don't scout football. I don't play football. But if you crunch the numbers, here's what you should do, broadly speaking. And he's an important part of this. I had been second-guessing myself because football is the ultimate, you know, small sample size sport, right? You only get a few games every year. You only get a few big decisions every year. This ownership group with Josh Harris, as of late Thursday night, had made two big decisions. One, hiring Dan Quinn as coach, and two, drafting Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Neither of which were supported by the analytics, and neither of which were analytic forward decisions. They were both kind of old school football guy decisions, right? And so my thought coming into the weekend is, am I misreading what these guys are all about? If you ask an analytics guy and say, what kind of coach should I hire? Young, offensive mind, you know, very, very forward in their schemes and what they're doing. That's not Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is, we went and talked to 100 people and said, who should we hire as coach? And they said Dan Quinn because he's a football guy and he's a leader of men and he's going to whip this defense into shape. All those aren't tangible things. Those aren't quantifiable things. Jaden Daniels is the same, right? If you line up the stat, who should you draft as quarterback? You should draft Drake May. You should draft J.J. McCarthy because of the upside. Whatever it is, not a lot of them said Jaden Daniels, right? A lot of the pushback in the pre-draft was he's bad under pressure. We don't like his numbers in this or in that. There are concerns there. Then you turn on the tape, you turn on a football game, and you watch him play, he jumps off the screen. You'd be crazy not to take that guy. And you know that's how I felt out of the gate. I was a big Jaden Daniels guy. We got my guy. I'm happy. However it goes from here. And look, this is part of why I hate the draft. Because it's better to be cynical than to be optimistic. Because you're going to be right more often. More guys miss than hit every year. It's a billion-dollar industry looking for every little edge. And more of these guys are going to miss than are going to hit. Anytime they draft somebody, the sensible thing to say is, oh, I don't like that. I don't think it's going to work out. You don't even need to do research. Jaden Daniels, number two to the Commanders. What do you think? I don't think it'll work out. And statistically speaking, you're going to be right more often than you're wrong. I hate living that way. I don't want to live that way. Jaden Daniels is exciting. He's a great pick. He brings that level of excitement to the team. I hope it works out. I know the numbers. I know the harsh realities. It's still tough for these things to work out, and everybody gets that. But this was not an analytically minded decision. So I'm thinking, man, all this commitment, are they in on it? Or are they not in on it? Are they making football, you know, football guy, old school football decisions? Then you get to the weekend, then you get to the picks. You say, okay, I see where they're going. I see the vision. It was a small sample size. It was a coaching search that I think didn't go the way they wanted it to go to. I'm still willing to say that. I know everybody works so hard on their back pedal. Nobody is better at this year than the back peddlers on that. I still think they wanted the search to end with Ben Johnson, and it didn't end with Ben Johnson. That's all right. I like Dan Quinn. He's here now. We're rolling with Dan Quinn. I think with Jaden Daniels, it was the correct pick. It's not indicative of an overall strategy or approach, though. These guys, though, I mentioned Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton was their second pick. He's a defensive tackle out of Illinois. Everybody loves Johnny Newton. That's another guy you flip on the tape, you start watching him. You know my approach on the draft. Tell me who they picked, then I'll start looking into them. I don't canvass the board. I don't do a 7-round mock draft. I don't have guys I fall in love with beyond, you know, the first few rounds. But, you know, once they draft the guys, I'm in. I'm here to learn. I'm here to see what they got. I love what I'm seeing out of the gate on Johnny Newton. I think he's going to be an instant impact player. I think he's going to play this year and play a lot. Mike Sanristel, the cornerback out of Michigan, another guy who very much fits their mold at a position of need, right? That's the Johnny Newton critique, would be not a position of need. But when a player's that good, and I do love what I see from him, I'm okay with drafting him when he's available. Make sure to lock him down. Mike Sanristel's the cornerback out of Michigan. Great pick there. Then they come back, get their tight end, Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. Tight end's going to be crucial for these guys. They've got Cole Turner, who's tall, and they've got Gates, who can block. They don't have a total package guy at tight end. They've got Zach Ertz, who is old. He's done a lot of really good things in the NFL, but Father Time wins. And, you know, you don't know how much he's going to have. So tight end's an instant impact position there. Then third round, pick 67, finally at long last, an offensive lineman. Brandon Coleman's your guy. TCU, offensive lineman. Now, we talk about not holding the sins of the past against the new group. I will admit, I did the shudder when they said the magic words, also projects as a guard. Because, man, we have lived that. Brandon Scherff, right tackle of the future. We've thought about it. He's really more of a guard. Sam Cosmi, we love him at tackle. We're going to move him inside to guard, see how he does, right? Now, Coleman's got the size to play tackle. But he's not, I just don't think he's there right away. Peters says he's a tackle, and they drafted him as a tackle. Obviously, that helps with getting the guy you want, because if the rest of the league sees him as a guard, that docks him a round or two in their eyes. We'll see. Here's your left tackle competition right now. Cornelius Lucas. You know I love me some Cornelius Lucas, but, I mean, are we going to rely on that to keep Jaden Daniels' blindside protected? Trent Scott. He's 30 years old. He's bounced around the league for 6 years. He hasn't really started any NFL games. And now, third-round draft pick, Brandon Coleman, out of TCU. Are we done here? I hope we're not done here. If we are done here, I got major concerns about playing Jaden Daniels, and I'm not afraid to say that. I wouldn't do it. It's just a guy who is susceptible to the rush, and you're going to have a competition between Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman? I don't love it. You got Daniels, the Utah kid, as well. Braden Daniels, who was at camp last year. Maybe he's coming along. I don't know. I still think he projects more as a backup, too. I don't love that aspect of things. Luke McCaffrey in round 3, Christian's brother. Good to have names on the team, right? I'm a believer in names. The T.J. Watt year, I loved me some T.J. Watt, just on the last name alone. Though, I mean, the family lineage, that does pay off a lot. And then your last three, Jordan McGee, linebacker out of Temple, Dominique Hampton, a safety, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, a pass rusher from Notre Dame. They love those late-round pass rushers. He'll join K.J. Henry. He'll join that crew of guys. You look at the defensive transformation. It's been immediate, and it's been impressive. I think the defense is going to be good this year and is going to turn some heads. I have questions offensively. It's too young of a team. It's too raw of a team. I don't think they have the necessary pieces to help Jaden Daniels be successful. I have major reservations about starting Jaden Daniels week one. We got all offseason to talk about that, but I'm planting the flag now. I got major reservations about starting Jaden Daniels week one. I like the pick. I like all the picks. This is not the defense. This is not a unit that rebuilt overnight. And I say, okay, they can do some things. I'm not sure this is a unit that can do some things yet. Monday Funday, what's up? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. That's the program. Wrap up Commander's Draft, and thank you for everybody for calling for the Wawa gift basket. I have great news. Today's is claimed. There will be another one tomorrow. So tune back in tomorrow. We'll be right here, 10 to noon, giving away Wawa gift baskets. It's what we're doing this week. So stay tuned. Your chance to win later this week. I didn't mention Sam Hartman. He's the quarterback at Notre Dame. And obviously, they took Jaden Daniels. That's the guy. This isn't a Kirk Cousins situation. Nobody got Michael Penix here. But they signed him. This was the biggest undrafted deal. So the way this works is the draft is 7 rounds. At the very end of the last round, last pick is taken, and then it's a frenzy. The next hour is just pure chaos because anybody who didn't get drafted is free to agree to a contract with any team. And so there are a lot of guys they want to bring in, but they don't want to draft. Every team feels that way. And so everybody's making phone calls, jockeying, and trying to get their guys. Here's how this works. You can give them money, a guaranteed signing bonus, but it counts against your salary cap. So usually it's just, hey, do you want to come be part of the team? And if you make the team, we'll pay you. And you know, guys have to decide where they want to go and all that. But for a few undrafted guys, occasionally there is a financial battle. The other part of this is the teams have the roster, the 53, but then they keep a practice squad as well. That's 17 guys who are not eligible to play, but are at practices or developing or working with the coaches. They don't make a lot of money. They make about $100,000 a year to be on the practice squad, which, you know, it's not a lot in NFL world considering, you know, everything they go through and the toll it takes on their bodies and all that. You can pay a practice squad player more than that, but if you do, it counts against, the salary cap. So Sam Hartman got $20,000 to sign with the Commanders, and if he makes a practice squad, he'll get $225,000 a year instead of the $100,000. So he's got, you know, that's a decent chunk of change there relative to what it could be. Now, if you make the real roster, the 53, the minimum salary this year is like $480,000. Life's good for you there. That's a sign that he knows he's not going to make the roster, so he's negotiating. That's a sign to me that they need a long-term plan in place that's not Marcus Mariota. So there's your three. And I'll be curious who your third is on game days as well, because they're going to have options here, which it's good to have options, especially going into training camp. It would not surprise me if Jeff Driscoll is the third quarterback during the season. Hartman's on the practice squad as the fourth, which I think is good business. I don't think you can have too many developmental quarterbacks right now, because if one of them hits, they hit, and that's awesome. And if one of them doesn't hit, that's it, whatever. You know, that you can't have too many of these guys, because at some point you're going to have to call on one of them, and you don't need to be getting on the phone with Taylor Heineke in that moment. You want to have guys in the building. So I like the Sam Hartman pick. I like what we've got there. Hour number two, MP on the mic. What's up? Michael Phillips here. Thanks to the Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Grab it in the Apple Store and Google Play. And on all major platforms, all you do is type in MP on the mic into the box. It pops up. You hit subscribe. We pop into your feed every single day, every single weekday. We take the weekends off. We had a good weekend. We had a little Odyssey outing over at the Richmond Flying Squirrels game. And I almost got to see a little bit of baseball, a little bit of baseball magic. It's time for today's Richmond Flying Squirrels update. All right. Flying Squirrels update. Of course, they are off today as they are off on Mondays. Tomorrow, Trey Wilson joins the program for Tuesdays with Trey. Wrapping up the most attended April in Richmond Flying Squirrels history. Congrats to the Squirrels. Most attended April in Flying Squirrels history. And the weather was great. I've been to a lot of baseball. I've seen a lot of baseball. I love baseball. I covered baseball for a season. That Megan is just destroying the studio over here. I'm glad you're so excited about the Squirrels update.
I'm excited about the Squirrels. Intro.
Very excited about the Squirrels update. Are we still on the air, or are we go to?
We are still on the air.
Is something on fire over there?
No, I'm just clumsy.
Okay. I've never seen a no-hitter. And that's on the list, obviously. That's cool. And the Squirrels have had combined no-hitters. Never one guy throws a no-hitter, because it's the minor leagues. They only pitch for a little while. they were rolling on Saturday. So we were out there at the game, and 6 o'clock start. I got there a little late, but they're John Michael Bertrand's on the hill. He's dealing, and I don't get the sense that we're with Zach McHugh's there, our boss, and Stubbs there, and Awad's there, and the Odyssey crew's there. And I get the sense I'm the only person who cares, but I'm in on this. I also get the sense I'm the only person who cares in the stadium. Like,
really?
Yeah, I did. I didn't get the sense people were hanging on this no-hitter.
Yeah.
If they were, and you don't go to a Squirrels game to watch baseball. It's a production, and there's fireworks, and there's the nut race, and
yeah.
they had the River City jerseys, which I think were super cool.
Oh my gosh, the hats.
The hat. Yeah. The aqua blue hat with
it's
the bridge.
So good.
That's a good looking hat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good looking hat. Absolutely. But the other thing about this is John Michael Bertrand, he's no hitter. He's dealing. We're going. This is a quick game. Mm. I love the pitch clock. But when you get a no hitter, we're really rolling. This game was over in less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
We were flying through this game. 7 perfect innings. He did not come out in the 8th. They went to the bullpen. Will Jensen came in, gave it up, gave up a hit. I'm devastated. I thought we were going to get it. Nobody else cares. They're all just waiting for Nutsy to come around again or buy peanuts or whatever it is they're doing. This no-hitter would have been wasted on them. These guys would have been a waste of a no-hitter on these guys. My quest continues to see a no-hitter. Not only that, it was the second night in a row they had a no-hitter going through. They did on Friday as well. Had a no-hitter through 7 innings. Phenomenal weekend for the Squirrels. Will Jensen came in, gave up the perfect game, but then struck out 5 to end the game. 4-0 win for the good guys. Flying Squirrels now 11-10 after yesterday's loss. Had a ton of fun out there. Here's the final call from that game with Trey Wilson.
Jensen's pitch taken for a called strike 3. Got him looking. Jensen strikes out the side in the 9th. And the Flying Squirrels shut out the Bay Sox tonight by a final score of 4-0.
Beautiful night. 2 hours. Lean, mean, rolling right through it. Squirrels were dealing. Almost got a no-hitter. 7 innings of no-hit ball. It's fun to watch. Someday I'll see one. No, wasn't this weekend. Someday I will see one, though. That remains firmly on the bucket list.
There's a recording on the computer about one of the no-hitters they did before.
Yeah, oh, like back in the day?
Yeah, like it's labeled no-hitters. So.
Yeah, it's a...
Yep.
I mean, it's a big baseball event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, you know, wait their whole lives to see a no-hitter. And back-to-back nights, you think maybe you're getting one.
one of the nights will work out.
One of these nights. But the Squirrels are above 500, 11-10. They're on the road this week before they eventually return home. We'll do another Odyssey night. We'll get out there. We'll have some... We'll have some fun and go nuts, as the whole town is. Most attended April in Flying Squirrels history. Congrats to them. Reed Garrett went to Mills Godwin High School. That's only the beginning of his story. He is he's dealing for the New York Mets as a reliever. Went to VMI as well. 31 years old. Here's his major league career. Was picked by the Texas Rangers in the draft, went to the Spokane Indians, from there went to the Hickory Crawdads, from there was promoted to the High Desert Mavericks, then pitched for the Frisco Rough Riders, the Round Rock Express, and the Surprise Seguros in the Arizona Fall League. Went back to Round Rock. From there, unfortunately, in 2018, he was sent to the Mexican League to play for the Hermosillo Naranjeros, which I believe is like the Orange Pickers, right? Something like that. Then he goes to the Detroit Tigers, and he makes the opening day roster, plays for the Detroit Tigers, makes his major league debut in 2019, and then is sent back down to the minor leagues, goes to the Nashville Sounds. From there, goes to Japan, to play for the Saitama Seibu Lions. We're not done yet. Plays a second season in Japan, comes to the Nationals organization where he plays for the Rochester Red Wings, switches to Norfolk where he plays in the Orioles organization, the Norfolk Tides, and now, last year was with the Syracuse Mets, begins this year with the New York Mets, age 31. He's doing it. He is living his major league dream. And
good grief.
And
he's
a Mets sensation now. He has now come in relief and picked up the win five times this year in this young baseball season. He is one of four Major League Baseball pitchers with five wins. He is tied for the Major League lead in wins. Here's Reed Garrett on everything falling right for him right now.
Are you trying to be a 20-game winner?
Yeah, that would be wild. I wish I could take credit for all these wins, but I mean, it shows how good we are fighting back. It's impressive to see.
I love it. Love it when the local guys make good. Congrats to Reed Garrett. Five wins this season for the New York Mets. I can't say I'm going to become a Mets fan because I'm not going to become a Mets fan, but I'm a Reed Garrett fan. They can pick up a few wins along the way for him, and glad to see him make the majors. It's a long journey. That was a lot of baseball teams he's played. That's a lot of minor league nights to finally make it up to the majors and have some success at that level. Speaking of our local guys, Dejon Anthony, he's been on a journey too. He went to Henrico High School. He was not recruited out of Henrico High School, so he went to Shepherd College, Division II, to play football. From there, went to Liberty, played two seasons at Liberty. Megan's doing the fist pump. Go Flames.
Go Flames.
There you go. Did you ever go to a Liberty football game?
Actually, no. Okay. That's the one thing I have not done yet.
Okay.
It's on the list. I was there over the weekend, though.
There you go. What, just hanging out?
Just hanging out. Showing Vince the campus and stuff and riding the scooters and getting some of the good food. There's a good sub place there.
Did you go to the mountain?
No, that's another thing I have not done. That's on the list, too.
Wait. You went to Liberty, yeah, and you never did the fake mountain?
I was online. And we would go and visit, but I wasn't like there like the whole semester and stuff. So
sure, but I... All right, we'll have an outing. We're doing a squirrels game, and we're doing the fake mountain.
Yeah!
It's a whole fake mountain with snow.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Right?
I need to go.
just saying. From Liberty, recruited to Ole Miss. Of course, followed his coach over there. And then on Saturday, his NFL dream came true.
And with the 224th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Dejon Anthony, defensive back, Mississippi. Hootay!
There you go. He's off to the Bengals. He'll learn to yell that randomly. Congrats to... I had said on... I think Awan asked me on Thursday, do we have any local kids who are going to get drafted? I said no. Wasn't on the radar. So congrats to Dejon and Henrico High, by extension, of course. That's pretty cool. We'll have a local kid to root for here. Mekhi Becton, Highland Springs, signed with the Eagles yesterday. 1-year deal up to $5.5 million. Now, he has injury issues, but he's a really good tackle. I was surprised the Commanders weren't in on him just to bolster the competition at this. I mean, they must love this Utah kid, Daniels, who they drafted last year. They've got the TCU kid this year. They've got Cornelius Lucas. Sure feels like they have a bunch of pieces that they maybe think are going to equal a hole. I don't love approaching left tackle that way when you've got a rookie quarterback who's susceptible to the rush. That's a question mark for me coming into the Commanders season. But Mekhi Becton to the Eagles. The Eagles keep on winning. 1-year deal up to $5.5 million. Frank Gore Jr., signed with the Bills after the draft. That was a notable one for me. I always feel like, right, and I mentioned Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, his dad was an NFL player. Now, Christian's brother is coming to the Commanders. I love drafting on lineage because these guys know what it takes to be a pro. It's always wild to me when it's like, didn't the dad, like, just play a minute ago? Right, like LeBron James, obviously we would be fascinated by Bronny James just because of the name and all that. But it's more fascinating because LeBron dropped 39 on the Nuggets on Saturday night. He is still playing at a crazy high level, and now like his kid's on the verge of being in the NBA. The Marvin Harrison Jr., who was drafted number 4 overall, it's like, oh, Marvin Harrison, I remember him. But that was a long time ago. That an appropriate amount of time has passed between Marvin Harrison and Marvin Harrison Jr. We've got the right spacing on that. Frank Gore, like, I think Frank Gore ran for 74 yards against the Bengals, like, last year, it feels like. Well, he's been around, and now his son is signing with the Bills. That makes it more impressive to me when the kids are. It's like, wait a second, the dad's still dominating. That speaks to a long career and a productive. Frank Gore got the most out of what he had to offer in the NFL. No doubt about that. I don't know if we'll get into Kirk Cousins today, because on the way back, we got to do a Capitals segment, because I was up in D.C. last night. We'll recap the Capitals game. We'll dive back into the draft at 11:30. We'll, of course, do crosstalk with AWOD at 11:45. Recap a busy weekend in the world of sports. Remind you, tonight, Who's Talking is on at 6 o'clock after Grant and Danny are over. Their guests, Paul Collins and Mike Barber. We know Mike Barber. We love Mike Barber. He's out there on the lacrosse beat. I never know. I want to like lacrosse, but one, like, look, that's not my world, not my sphere. I'm not rich enough to be a lacrosse guy. Well, let's call that what it is. That's a rich kid sport. So I was never in the lacrosse sphere, and I also don't understand it. But I like lacrosse. I like watching lacrosse. Mike Barber will break that down on Who's Talking tonight, because he's an actual expert, unlike me. I'm just yapping into the microphone. I do know about the Washington Capitals, because I was out there last night. We had trash can nachos.
What?
Better stay tuned. We're back with more after this. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. All right, my guy Sean Fenner, we've been friends forever. We worked at the newspaper together back in the day. He did the box scores back when we had a person whose full-time job was to do the box scores, which is, like, it's okay. Megan, everything about that sentence does not make sense to you. There's no...
I'm nodding my head anyway.
You're not gonna get there. That's a thing that used to happen. Take the baseball scores and fill out the box scores and put them in the newspaper. Okay. Every sport, every game, every night, in good old Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
It's a forgotten world.
It is. I just checked the MILB website.
we go to a Caps game every year, and we ran out of time. We're like, well, we gotta go last night, because it's gonna be the last one, and it was the last one.
LaPierre will catch up with it, backhanded by Ovechkin into the glove of Igor Shesterkin, who fires it into the far boards. 2-1. One more save by Shesterkin. Bring out the brooms. Rangers sweep the series 4-0, and they're off to the second round.
Get into the game in a second, and the post game as well, which was I noticed something interesting post game as well. That's the least mad, sad, disappointed, depressed I've ever been after my. That team I like was swept in the playoffs. I didn't feel bad at all. I thought they competed in 3.5 of the 4 games. Competed really well. I like the way the young guys are developing. But we went up there. We got 8 o'clock puck drop. So we got there early. So we went. They've got at Capital One Arena now, Guy Fieri has a restaurant inside the arena. It's a restaurant / sportsbook casino, because all things in 2024 must be / casino. That's the official rule of society.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's Guy Fieri's sports bar and bet on things, please.
Love it.
Is the format. We got the trash can nachos.
Okay.
Guy's trash can nachos.
Okay. Who else's?
Now you've got a place. It's a sports bar restaurant literally inside the arena where the teams play. Captive audience. Guys never set foot in this place, first off. I promise you that. Secondly, service is not priority one.
Oh,
inside Guy's. I don't Guy hasn't audited this place in a while. the levels of caring were pretty hard zero.
Oh no.
It's no. You're here, and would you like to eat sports bar food? You have no other options. You'll be eating here tonight. Against all odds. The food was actually good.
Okay.
Took forever to get there. They didn't care.
Yeah.
The trash can nachos.
I am confused.
I'm
the
very
name.
Curious.
All right. He had, like, they didn't really sell it. It was more like a metal cylinder. They didn't, like, dress it up to look like a trash can.
Okay.
The guy comes out to the table. It's almost like one of these fancy places where, like, they light the cheese on fire, ooh, you know, in front of you, ooh, or whatever. It's a presentation. Mm. I didn't Instagram it because I'm not an influencer, but it's clearly meant for that. He brings out this trash can, a little metal cylinder.
Is he dressed as Oscar?
It should have been.
Missed opportunity.
We'll
there.
Put that in the Guy Fieri comment bin for sure. Yeah. Fill out the comment card. Puts the chips in, puts the beans, the sour cream,
in front of
the
you.
Meat, and like shakes it up.
Oh.
And then lifts up the, there's a button, but the lid doesn't open on the top. The lid opens on the bottom.
Oh.
And the nachos drop out.
Oh.
Onto the plate below.
That's wow. unique.
Voila. Here are your trash can nachos. One, as I mentioned, they were good.
Okay.
Two, I have a number of questions. To me, and I love nachos, nacho guy here, the last thing I want is my nachos like soaking in the cheese for a long time. I want to dip my nacho more than I want full saturation of the nacho. So I'm unclear what was added beyond the presentation by putting all my nacho ingredients in a fake trash can and shaking them before serving it to me. I'm unclear what that portion...
It's almost a little rude.
All right, look, we're going to have to serve these people food, but we can't stand that they're in here bothering us by ordering food. Put their nachos in a trash can and shake them up.
Make them soggy.
Is there a thing that it's bad service? You know, there's that restaurant where they're rude to you.
Dicks or whatever?
Yeah.
No. No.
Nope.
No.
But they leaned into the trash can thing, huh?
They're like...
That's unique. That's all I'll say.
They wow. put the nachos in there, shook up the nachos, like it's a martini or something. And just plopped them onto the plate below.
Were all your chips martini. Broken?
Interestingly, no. Oh. By the time we were done, they were all soggy, which I would think would be a very obvious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing was, so the lid falls out, and like some of the nachos like kind of stick to the lid and don't drop. And he's like, do you want to get those? I can't touch it, but if you want to like scrape it off, you can. So I scraped off the nacho. I'm not too proud. I paid good money for those nachos.
I don't blame you.
Now that's my next question. How much were the nachos?
$22.
I don't like that.
Sean and I split the nachos.
Okay.
And I think both felt good about where we were at hunger-wise.
Okay.
We go. Yeah. We had great seats. 910 The Fan, home of the Caps. We love our relationship with the Caps. Thank you to the Caps. Brought the rally towel in. Hockey's the absolute best live. I don't have to tell you that. You know it's amazing. We got great seats. I'm going to withhold the names, but a friend of mine texts in the second intermission and says, come to, and then provided a suite number.
Oh,
don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah,
so we go down into the suites.
Oh,
we're in the suite watching the third period, and it's nice.
Ooh. Oh,
I don't have to tell you that. We got like leather recliner chairs, and we're like right on top of the aisle. Like they're skating, you see the speed, and like it was good. Yeah. The suites catered. The Caps lost 4-2. The Rangers went on a power play, scored with about 3 minutes left. It was very obvious at that point they were going to win the game. And everybody left. I didn't, because one, I'm a state of the finish guy.
That's right.
Generally. But two, at the end of a playoff series, the way it works in hockey, they don't shake hands after every game. At the end of the playoff series, they do a big handshake line and greet each other and salute the fans and, you know, walk off for the year. I want to be there for that. And you know, Sean wanted to be there for that too. So the suite like empties out with 2 minutes left. Ooh. And so we have like a personal suite.
Nice.
They do the handshake line. I want to circle back on the handshake line in a second. But you know, they leave and it's just us and the attendant, you know, who's there to like, you know, take care of the suite.
Yeah.
There are like 20 cheeseburgers just sitting there wrapped up.
Did you smash them?
Did you smash
that? Well, he's like, we're going to grab a cheeseburger for the road, you know?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Or seven.
Well, that was the thing. How many can you take? How many can you... Like, because it's like, one, we're not supposed to be here. But two, we are here, and nobody else is here. But also, like, is the attendant gonna hit up my guy and be like, yo, those idiot friends you invited, like, they took all the cheeseburgers. Like, have some class. Like, act like the rich people you're not. You know.
Well, you can't be stuffing them in your pocket, so I think there's
I wanted to. We each took a cheeseburger. We're crushing them in the car on 95 on the way back. We're both like, we should have grabbed more cheeseburgers.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what happened with me with Wawa, because they like had all the free teas, and I was like, I took a few, and then I really wanted
Laments.
More.
Laments. Laments. But the end of the handshake line, they come out, they stick tap, they salute the crowd, they go to the locker room. TJ Oshie comes out and does another lap and does another thank you. And I just filed that away. He's old. He's been hurt a lot. Caps legend, NHL legend, American legend, once single-handedly beat the Russians in an Olympic hockey game. And I just filed away, like, is he done? Was that... That may have been the end. That may have been him, you know, soaking it in. Mm. Now, it may also have been... The Caps have been... I'm going to go blowing through the break. Don't worry about it. I'll own this one. Because the Caps for so long were a high-expectation team. You have Ovechkin. You have Oshie. You have Backstrom. You should make the Stanley Cup. You should win the Stanley Cup. And they felt that pressure every year. And they finally won. And obviously, Oshie drank the beer through his shirt, and it was iconic. And that was one of the great... I mean, I think that was one of the great sports celebrations of all time when they finally won and all that pressure was off. But I think... I got this sense they loved this year just because it was the opposite. They had no business being there. They definitely weren't good enough to be there. At the trade deadline, the general manager of the team was like, yeah, this team's not any good. Trade everything that's not bolted down. And then they make the playoffs, and I think they had a ton of fun. So maybe that was what TJ Oshie was doing. Maybe just like, hey, I liked this. I'm going to soak this in for another minute. If he announces his retirement, I'm not going to be surprised. It felt like a moment for the people who had remained, who were trying to contemplate how many cheeseburgers they could take home with them without looking out of place in the suite. But it was a fun year, and I'm glad they made the playoffs. So many of the young guys made steps forward, and Strom, LaPierre, Alexiev. I mean, you can see the path forward. It's not immediate. They've got a lot of draft picks. They've got a lot of young talent. Next year's still about Ovechkin. He's 42 away. That's what every night's going to be about next year. Probably needs 25 next year to have a legit shot at it going into 26. We'll be watching. We'll be listening right here on 910 The Fan, of course. All right, two segments to go. AWOD Radio live noon to 3. Grant and Danny, of course. Grant's my go-to on all things Caps. He'll have more coherent thoughts than me because he's a hockey guy. He'll break it down, of course, 3 to 6 on The Fan. Who's talking at 6? Loaded lineup. You got another half hour of me first. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Monday morning, sliding towards noon. That's when AWOD Radio takes over. He'll be here noon to 3. Grant and Danny will drive you home before Who's Talking tonight. Special guests Paul Collins and Mike Barber on Who's Talking. Mike Barber will talk all things lacrosse. UVA on a bit of a skid in lacrosse. You never know what to make of that because like there's like 7 teams that are all really, really good and they all play each other all the time. Like, and it's super fun to watch, obviously. But you also never know. The only thing you know is, this is what I know about lacrosse. UVA always loses to Duke. It's like a multi-year, decade losing streak. It goes back, I'll leave it to Who's Talking. The whole story on that is, remember the Duke lacrosse scandal where they were accused of some things, and then it turned out they didn't do it. And there was like, yeah, it was a big twist in the end. Apparently the UVA people were like very like, they shouldn't be like trying to get them, you know, out of the tournament, out of the league, whatever, during that time. But then UVA had their own thing a few years later where the guy was convicted of killing Yardley Love, the female player.
Yeah.
So they had their own situation. And I think they like chose to play in the tournament that year. And I think it sat wrong with the Duke people. I don't have all the details right here, but like they've been out for revenge ever since. So every time they played now, Duke has won for like going on more than a decade. Almost 2 decades.
Good grief.
Since they've won. That's a grudge.
Yeah, that is.
That's a grudge. To like not only still like be that fiery about, but enough so that like you beat another really good team
Yeah.
Every single time you play them.
That's insane. That's a
rivalry right there. That's sports. If you missed anything from today's show, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. At 10:15 this morning, we talked about VCU getting their first guy out of the portal, right? It's all been into the portal. Good to be pulling back out of the portal, going fishing for some portal guys. Jack Clark, listed as a small forward, seventh year in college. Three seasons with LaSalle, redshirt year, a season with NC State, a season with Clemson, so back-to-back seasons in the ACC. 6'8". We like 6'8". 6'8"'s good. After some of those games we sat through last year, we like 6'8". We can work with that. And you heard Robbie Robinson. We played the clip earlier. Calm down. They'll get a team. Everybody's going to get a team. There's enough players in there to help everybody field a team. They're good at what they do. You don't have to like it. I don't like it. But you do have to give this staff the benefit of the doubt, especially after what they pulled off last year. They're going to field a team. It's going to be all right. Not benefit of the doubt category, the Atlanta Falcons. We spent a good portion of Friday's show, maybe more than a show in Richmond, Virginia, should spend talking about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not done swinging at the pinata because everybody opened their mouth and talked about it over the weekend. Here's Terry Fontenot. He's the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. You just signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $180 million contract. And then, with the number 8 pick in the draft, you drafted a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., and you didn't tell Kirk before you did it. And so there's some feelings, and a lot of people are in those feelings. Make me feel better about this, Terry Fontenot.
It's not easy. It's not easy to do in terms of this position finding. And you can, when you really study the drafts and study the history, there's a couple. And so when you look at really the history, so at the end of the day, if you believe in a player at that position, because if we're all sitting here a few years from now, whenever it is, and this guy's playing pretty good for somebody, regardless of the situation, regardless of you sit back and look back and we pass him up, you can't do that. If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
If you have a quarterback and he has to wait 4 or 5 years to play, that's a good problem to have. That's an insane thing to say into a microphone when you know you are being filmed for other people to watch this. 4 to 5 years. You think Michael Penix is sitting there like, you know what I really want to do? I'd like to be drafted to a team that already has a quarterback, and ideally I'd like to wait 4 to 5 years to start playing professional football. He's 23. 4 to 5 years, that's his prime. That's all of it. Now, it is possible that they know something about Kirk Cousins that we don't know, right? How his rehab's going, how his body's holding up, and they're scared to death that he's about to, you know, not be able to play this year or injure himself to the extent that he's not going to be able to play. I'm leaving open the door that they know something we don't know. If that's true, though, that is one of the stupidest contracts in NFL history to give a guy over $100 million guaranteed without checking in to make sure that his body's not going to break down immediately upon purchase, right? That's insane if that's true. The best case scenario here is equally insane and irresponsible. That's how you know this situation is wild. That's how you know that this was an all-timer of a botched draft. Because choosing Michael Penix is extremely defensible. He was a good quarterback at Washington. He does have big game experience. He is maybe the most ready to be a quarterback of an NFL team tomorrow of the entire draft class. And I am including Jaden Daniels and I am including Caleb Williams. He might be the most ready to go right now. And instead you draft him on this 4 to 5 year plan. You say that's a good thing. The rookie contract's up in 4 years, right? You're paying him full market price after that. The point of having a rookie quarterback is to take advantage of the economy of underpaying him. And instead, you've got a guy and you're overpaying another guy. Even if there are two scenarios here. One is, this, you know, he plays and he doesn't play well. And fine, Kirk Cousins gets to keep being the quarterback, whatever. You wasted a draft pick. The other scenario is he plays and he's good, and then you've wasted Kirk Cousins. There's no scenario where both of them turn out and true. Now, this year, it's possible it's a good short-term play. If Kirk Cousins can't play week one, Michael Penix is available to play week one, right? So if you think this is a Super Bowl year, and I think they do, I do think they can be contenders this year, if Kirk's not going to be ready until week five, you want to make sure you don't dig yourself so deep of a hole by then that you know you lose your chance. But that also means you're risking a guy having success and then getting sent to the bench and then not playing for a couple of years. That's not a great situation either. Now, it's totally out of his hands. It's whatever it is in the end, it's out of Michael Penix's hands. We talked about this with Jaden Daniels, right? He made peace with it. It's a draft. You go where you're drafted. And I think it's a good landing spot in the sense of if he gets to play, he's going to get to play for a great coach with some great weapons. But no part of this was handled even remotely competently by the Falcons. To not give Kirk the heads up, too. The heads up would have gone a long way here, I think, but they didn't call him until right before they turned in the card. One more segment. We're going to crosstalk with AWOD. We'll relive a busy weekend. Friday, we were bowling. Saturday at the Diamond. Now, I was up in D.C. for the Caps game last night, which we recapped on at 11:15. So grab the Odyssey app, grab the rewind button if you missed that. AWOD's got 3 hours with you. We'll talk all things sports as we dive on here. It is MP on the mic. It's a Monday. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.